Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The passage for our consideration is taken from verse 35 to verse 40 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the title is Final Word on Marriage and Singlehood. Final Word on Marriage and Singlehood. Verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of age, and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Amen. May God bless us once again in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. After salvation, every truly born-again child of God is already fit for heaven. The passage that we read earlier for responsive reading to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper revealed that to us. Because when the malefactor accepted Christ, Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And so for us, after salvation, we are not yet in heaven, we are left behind by God for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ understands how important it is for us to know every phase of our life of service from the day you are born again. You must understand what is God's will for your life. And in relation to singlehood and marriage, this is one of the most important aspects in our lives, because it changes. When we are born to this world, we are all born single. Of course, in this particular context, you realize that the marriage of the virgins in the home of Jews in those days, it's in the hand of the fathers. They are the ones who decide, and that's why the Apostle Paul was referring to them, whether they want their daughters to remain single or married. It's nothing wrong to be married. It's nothing wrong to be single. But to be single, he says, you do better. You do good if you allow your daughter to be married. And we understand why the good and the better means. It's only with reference to devotion, time. No family responsibilities to add to the individual person's service unto God. God understands that when a person is in this world, he grows up single. And then later on in life, he will be revealed according to God's will, whether he has the gift of continency or not. If he has, he will remain single. If he does not have, he will be married. And so there will be two classes of singlehood, temporal and lifelong. We all grow up with a temporal experience of what singlehood means and the benefits of singlehood. Of course, the benefit of singlehood to a Christian will far exceed that of a non-Christian. In the case of a non-Christian, his singlehood will allow him to enjoy life, fun and games. He can go on holiday anytime he likes. He has no family responsibilities to take into consideration as he makes decisions. But to a person who is now single and a Christian, you are now elevated to a position where you can spend the rest of your singlehood life, if you are called to be single for life, devoted entirely to serve God, not encumbered by family responsibilities. And we all understand how real family responsibilities can become. And it will take a lot of our time, our energy, and our strength in making sure that the family that we brought up on this earth be holy and acceptable unto God. And so a big chunk of our energy and our devotion will be redirected away from God to looking after families. That's what it means. And so this will be the final word of what God is encouraging us, because He knows it can weigh heavily on our heart and on our minds, whether you are single, whether you are married, because the world will have its own perspectives. The world perspective sometimes may impact and influence us negatively. And because of this negative impact and influence, we become very affected, we become very hasty, and in our haste, we make wrong decisions. And this is a decision that you cannot afford to make a mistake. There may be many decisions you can make a mistake where the consequence will be very inconsequential. You make a wrong decision, you invest in this business and you go bust. You only lose some money. Money you can earn back. But when you enter into a marriage and you marry the wrong person, wrong in inverted commas, a person who is not a Christian, but because of the pressures of the world, you allow yourself to enter into this awful relationship. And you know it is in disobedience to the word of God, the clear teaching. What has Christ got to do with Belial? What have you, a believer, got to do with an unbeliever, which the Bible describes and interprets as an infidel? He rejected Christ. He says to God the Father, when he rejected Christ, "You have wasted the blood of your only begotten Son on me. I am good enough to go to heaven by my good works." For you, it was different. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And now this person whom you are about to marry has just slapped God in the face by throwing the gospel back into the face of Christ. And now you say you love him or you love her and you want to marry him or her. That is a very serious disobedience. And once you are married, even after repentance, there is no divorce. You will now have to suffer the consequence of what it means to marry an unbeliever, where you will lose the joy of coming to church as a family. When you see your contemporaries who married godly Christians, and then they come to church and they worship together as a family. And then when they have children, they can come together and worship as a family with children. And then all you can do is to come alone. Because your husband or your wife will not allow you to bring children. They forbid you. And you will experience, therefore, what you have lost. And so it is important for us to accept the state and condition that God has given to us after salvation in Christ. The Apostle Paul dealt with all the different scenarios concerning singlehood and marriage. To those who were married before you became believers, he dealt with that. And then one of you become a believer. How should we relate to Christ in relation to someone in our life whom we are married to who is not a Christian? They were not married when one of them was a Christian. Both of them were unbelievers, and then one become a Christian. What should we do? He dealt with that earlier. All the different scenarios, because he understands how concerned we are concerning our marital status. And so he begins once more addressing those who are single in verse 35. "And this I speak to your own profit." It is for your own good. It is for your own benefit, referring to those who are single. "Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely." It is for your own good, to help you in your life of service unto the Lord Jesus Christ as a single Christian, as a single person, not married, a virgin. "But that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." It is for your own good. Now, if you are called, remember singlehood has two types, temporal singlehood and for life. The Apostle Paul, his life of singlehood is for life. So if you know that you are called to be single only temporary, not for life, that means you know that you want to get married, then you have to wait Wait for whom? Wait for the Lord's will. So what do you do in the meantime while you wait? You serve the Lord faithfully. You build yourself up in the study of God's word. Now that you are single, you can make many important single decisions and make sure that you choose wisely on how to be more knowledgeable in the word of God. Because you must know that when you get married, it's easy to get married. Especially in our context. You just book a restaurant if you want to have a dinner. If you don't want to have a dinner, it's fine. You just go to ROM and register, and you can get married. If you are a Christian, you want to marry in the church, it's also possible. Very simple. You say the vow, you're married. But then after that, remaining married, it's going to be very difficult. Remaining happily married for how long? Until death do you part? Is even harder. It's easy. If you are spiritually mature enough and well prepared enough. Because when you want to get married, please understand, it is a spiritual battle that you are going to face. If you are a man, you better be spiritually mature. And so in the meantime, while you're single, make yourself mature. Spend time studying the word. A lot of time. Make it a priority. So that your own spiritual life is firmly rooted on God's word. You are now walking the straight and narrow path because of your understanding, obedience to the word of God. And then when you are now ready, and you know you don't have the gift of continency and your desire and your calling is to be married, then God will bring that person. Because now once you get married, you have to take charge of your own spiritual life and the other person's as well. And when the father of the girl hands her over to you, he will trust you to protect her and to help her to grow spiritually, just as he, as a father, did for his daughter since birth. And now he is giving her over to you to continue to help his daughter grow spiritually, to take care of her, to prepare to die for her, just as he was always prepared to die for her, his daughter. This is what it means. And then when you have children, if God blesses you with children, now on top of your own spiritual life and that of your wife, you now have to take care of the spiritual life of your children as well. Please don't farm them out to grandparents. It is your responsibility to nurture them, to help them, and it is always your honor and privilege to be given this amazing, wonderful honor to shape and mold the lives of these little ones whom God has blessed you with, who is part of your flesh and blood. That's what marriage means. And so if you are called to be married, but now you are still single, this is what you must do for yourself, serving the Lord with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength as a most wonderful and obedient single servant of God. And wait. Don't be impatient. Don't allow the voices of your family members and friends and of the world to make you disobey God and in haste marry an unbeliever. And you will face the consequence of a very, very painful and difficult life. Either way, if you are a man, you marry an unbelieving girl. If you are a girl, you marry an unbelieving man. Either way, you're going to have nightmares if you still want to follow the Lord. If you give up the Lord in the course of marrying an unbeliever and you become a lover of the world like your unbelieving spouse, then most likely you're not even born again in the first place. When you can just simply give up Christ, just like that. Because a person who truly accepted Christ as Lord and Savior means that he knows that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sin and he is the Son of God who became the Son of Man. How could you ever, ever give up Christ? You never will. You never will for the rest of eternity. Because of what Christ has done in your heart and in your life, with the Spirit of God indwelling you, you will never, never love the world and be happy. The vexation of soul and spirit that the Spirit of God will continue to do in your heart will rob you of the peace of mind and the joy of the Lord. until you come back to Him in genuine, sincere repentance. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, I am giving you this instruction to remain single for your profit. It is not meant to cast a snare upon you, because I want the best for you. I want your life to be comely so that you will not be burdened by the distraction of family life. So if you are called to be like him, to be single for life, don't indulge in self-pity. Don't envy those who are married. It is a calling. And if you are truly called by God to be single for life, you can do so much for the Lord that all of us who are married cannot do. We don't have your liberty. We don't have your freedom. We definitely do not have your time. Because the time that we are devoted to look after family, to look after the spouse, there is a lot of time. And so one day, we know that we will be single again. The children will grow up and they will have their own lives. And then they'll be just a couple, God willing. God can also take one of us home and then you'll be single again, as he will mention in verse 39 and verse 40 about a widow. So he knows, single, married, and you could be single again. And every stage, God has an instruction, because God wants us to have a biblical perspective of every stage of our life here on earth serving him. Unless and until he calls us home, every stage of our lives, from singlehood to married and then to be single again, but this time as a widow or a widower, God covers it in scriptures, because God wants us to have a biblical perspective and not that of the world, so that we will not indulge in self-pity and sin against him. Our Heavenly Father knows what is best for us. What he wants from us is to submit willingly, cheerfully to his will for our life. And to those who are single, please do not see yourself as a reject. Never, never. You are a child of God. God has a plan and purpose for you as a single person that far exceeds that of those who are married. And therefore, you are better off as a single person in terms of your time of service and your complete devotion to the Lord. And you have to spend your time as a single person in that way. Just to be single means nothing if you do not spend your time wisely. If you are single and all you do is just to enjoy life, go and play games and have fun and frolic in the sun, that is not good. Remember, it is single and Christian and spending your time serving the Lord and be a better, more mature and effective Christian. Then only will your singlehood be considered profitable. Profitable to your own spiritual life, profitable to your spiritual service for God and for others. There's so much more you can do. If you are single, if they need help, when they have their teens camp, all these young people's camp, junior worship camp, and they need someone to come and stay with the young people, the children, to watch over them. You are single, you can just come. You can't ask a married person to come. He cannot, he has family to look after. You see how wonderful that is? They need help with the Golden Years Fellowship retreat. You have time, you can take leave. You can just go as a single person to help out. A married person with family responsibilities cannot make that decision. They cannot do it. You can. And so many other instances that you can just simply devote to the Lord. However, verse 36, but if any man think that he behave himself uncomely toward his virgin. Now this word think is different from the word think that you see in verse 40. All right, this word think in verse 36 has the idea of some legal implications. Okay, that means if a father has already made a prior arrangement to betroth his son or his daughter to some other family's child. That's what it means. If any man has already made some kind of a legal arrangement, common in those days, not common in Singapore. Maybe not. Common is not a good word. I don't think it's ever done in Singapore, right? Maybe in some other parts of other nation, maybe in India. I mean, we had an FEBC friend or student who went back home during the June holiday and he came back with a wife. We were shocked. I was shocked. So I talked to him. How come you are here all the time? When did you have time to go courtship and courting? I have no time. My mom and my dad, they have to pick my wife for me. I only saw her photograph. I've never met her. I only have one condition, that she has to be a Christian, and that's it. Then he said to me, I have no choice if I want to serve in my village. If I do not allow my parents to choose for me my bride, it will be the highest dishonor that I will show to my parents, and I cannot serve in that village of mine. That's what he said. And so he came back with a wife that has never met before, never went out with her before, chosen by the parents, only the photograph. If my memory serves me, that's what he told me. And Singapore, we don't have this, but in those days, this was done. And so if you have already made some prior arrangement, let's say you may have been engaged in our context, you are already engaged to a girl, a Christian, everything is fine. And then because you read verse 35, comely, prophet, without distraction, and now suddenly you see her and her name now is called distraction. Ayya, so how? You gave her the engagement ring already. Everything all planned. Designing the wedding invitation card and all these things. So if any man think that he behaved himself uncomely toward his virgin, so what you're about to do is going to break the engagement, and you find that actually you don't want to, but because you read verse 35 and you get confused. So Paul says, no, but if you really have made an arrangement, and in this case it's by law in those days, betrothed, just as Joseph and Mary, they were betrothed toward his virgin. Or second scenario, if she passed the flower of her age and needs so require, so if you find that your daughter is getting older and older and older, and now you feel that it is not good for her to remain single and you want her to get married because you know how difficult it is to be single and old, or to be a widow and old person. No one will look after you. You understand this? That was a scenario between Naomi and Ruth. Naomi kept on pushing her two daughters-in-law home. You stay in Moab and you remarry and find another husband. You can never find another husband through me. So please don't follow me back to Judah. I'm going back as an Israelite. That's my home. You are Moabites. You stay in Moab and you are still young. You can find another husband to take care of you when you are old. If you follow me, you are young, you can take care of me. But you are going to a foreign land. And when you are a widow in a foreign land, you are going to be worse than a widow in her own homeland. And so, Ruth, you want to follow me? You please don't. I know you love me and I love you too. And I know you want to take care of me. But please understand there is no future in taking care of me. You are young, you can take care of me, but when you stay in Bethlehem, Judah, and you're going to be old by the time I die, you're going to be an old widow like me. You go back to Moab, nobody will marry you. You stay in Bethlehem, Judah, as an old Moabite's widow, it's going to be worse off for you. You will not have the strength and energy to go to the field to pick food for yourself, just as now you are going to pick for me to feed me, because I'm old, you are still young. So please don't follow me. And that's why if the father feels that the daughter is getting nearly past the age of getting married in those days, he doesn't want her to be an old widow. He is concerned. And he may have a desire to find a husband for his daughter. The Apostle Paul says, that's also okay. If this is how you feel, you see the flower of age and needs so require, let him do what he will. The word will there means what his heart desires. Either way, two scenarios in verse 36. One that has already been legally betrothed. One where he wants the daughter to be married and not to be an old widow. He can opt for marriage. He sinneth not. let them, that's why them, two scenarios, let them marry. It's okay. So please understand, it is all right to get married. It is not a sin if you are engaged to be married. Please understand this. If you have this genuine, sincere concern that you do not want to be single, it's okay to want to be married as a single person. And as you get older and older, do not panic. Wait for God's timing and God's will. Continue to be spiritual. Continue to be holy. Conduct yourself in a godly manner, whereby when people look at you, whether you are a man or a woman, they see beyond your physical looks, they see in you the spiritual beauty that fadeth not away. And that's what you must do. And wait for God's timing and God's will to be done in your life. And so he made a very clear contrast. Okay? Verse 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, that means there are those who are single for life, but have power over his own will, so he has the strength and the conviction not to indulge in any fornication or sexual transgression. He has the will to control it, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. Okay? So, in those days, remember, it's up to the father, the head, to decide. But in our context, it's now up to that individual. Okay? You and I know the context. As fathers, you have no say, literally. I mean, you cannot push your daughter, get out of the house and get married. You cannot do that. They will have a say. And so therefore, verses 36 and 37, by application, according to our context, you want to remain single for the rest of your life because you have the ability to control. You do not have the desire and calling to be married. You do well. However, if you want to be married, it's also okay. You have not sinned. If you are already engaged to be married, and this person you believe to be God's will for your life, continue toward getting married. It's also okay. But however, to make sure that we understand the practical implication and significance, the Apostle Paul says in verse 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. That means those who remain single, you are better off. Those who are married, you are doing well, but not as good as those who remain single, serving the Lord without any distraction of family life and responsibilities. Please understand, the distractions are very real. Satan can use our relationships to hurt us, to snatch away our heart from the Lord. He knows, because there is no one on earth that is dearer to us than family. You and I know that, especially all of us who are parents, all of us who are married. We know that. When you are single, you are free from this distraction. Satan cannot use that to take away your love and your devotion to Christ. For us who have family, the pressures of bringing up children, the pressure of giving our lives for our children, the pressure of doing what is best for our children according to the ways of the world, it's very, very real. And it doesn't stop when they are babies. It continues into primary school, teenagers, even after they are adults. The pressures remain. And how many parents have sinned and transgressed and stumbled because they have allowed themselves to pander to their children's whims and fancies, and they have disobeyed the word of God in the process because they have loved their children more than they love Christ, because they have allowed their children to walk in sin and carnality, and they condone it. A person who is single, that will never be your issue. That will never be something that Satan could use to draw your heart away from Christ. For us who are married and with children, you have to walk a narrow path that is narrower than those who are single in that sense. because you have a heart and a love and a devotion to your spouse and to your family that a single person does not have that in his consideration. We have. And when you look at the life around you, look at the lives around you, I can see. It's very obvious. How many young people who used to attend faithfully and serve us in the fellowships, in the youth fellowship, for example, how devoted they were when they were single, when they only have their own schoolwork to consider. They spent a lot of time in YF serving. But then once they enter into YAF after marriage, you can see the change. And the change is not a positive. The change is negative because they are not spiritual enough to cope with the challenge of family life. They don't know how to balance it well. And so they sacrifice. What do they sacrifice? Not their family. They sacrifice their time with the Lord. And that became an inevitable part of their lives. Not just for the moment. And sadly, for most of the best years of their life, in their 20s, in their 30s, and in their 40s. And by the time the children are mature and grown up enough, whereby they spend less time with them, these parents who are now in their 50s and 60s, and what do they have to look back on in terms of their devotion and service unto the Lord? Practically empty. All of their time have been spent in looking after their family and their children. Oh, they may have done it very well. By all means, no doubt about that. The children may be godly. Thank God for that. But in terms of direct service unto the Lord, in all the other capacities whereby a single person could do, they did not do. Because they could not do. They did not manage to put aside sufficient time away from family and serve the Lord. You as a single person, that's why Paul says, you doeth better. You are free and delivered from family's responsibilities. You look at all these young couples with young children, not just one, two, three. You look at them, you just sit down in the fellowship hall, you just sit back and look. You just look at them. You look at the kind of bags they have to carry. You look at their pram that they have to buy. You look at all, their whole life is changed. And then you sit there as a single person. True, I mean, you don't have all this. I mean, you can play with their children. Hello, 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 carry for a while. Give back. That's it. They have to get the diapers changed. When they have fever, you don't have to sit and wait by their bedside throughout the whole night to make sure the fever breaks before you can lie down and sleep in peace. All these things you are spared. You can just simply focus 100% serving the Lord. How wonderful. Whereas you look at them, they're serving one another. They're serving their children. Where is the time that they could use and serve the Lord? Hardly could they sit in committees. Hardly could they go on any mission trips which they used to attend, used to go fervently, but not anymore. They have to save their leave to go on family vacations. They have to save their leave for this family activities, for that family activities. You as a single person, free. No need to concern yourself about any of these things. That's why Paul says it is better. I say all these things for your profit, to make you more comely, free from all this distraction. Now, I hope all of us who are married, I'm not speaking as if I'm not enjoying and not happy as a married person. I'm very happy. Okay, please, I'm not saying that. It's a calling. It's a matter of calling. Manage your time well. I thank God for my family, and I thank God for every moment and minute I can serve God and take care of my family. Balance it well. Don't enhance one area of your life at the neglect of another. Remember, the guideline is all things that you do must glorify God. That means every relationship that you have must glorify God. That is a challenge that every one of us who is married must bear in mind. because you must not turn your family into a curse. Your family is a blessing, but not at the expense of other areas of service in your life. If you have to lower your living standard in order to find more time to serve the Lord, then lower it. It's okay. Please, do not keep on working hard just to increase the size and the standard of your physical home at the expense of your spiritual home. Please don't do that. It is a very foolish thing to do. If you can continue to have more money and to buy bigger homes in the process and also serve the Lord faithfully, praise the Lord, by all means. But not all of us are like that. So please, do not enhance your physical standard of living at the expense of your spiritual life and that of your family as well. Provide for them more spiritual and not carnal. That's what your children need most from you as parents. Not more new clothes, not a bigger house, not a more fanciful car. As babies, they don't care and they do not know. What they need from you is, my mommy, my daddy, I want to see Christ in them. And I want to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior because I want to see Christ in my mom and dad. And I want to see my mom and dad loving one another according to the scriptures. Mommy submitting to daddy as unto the Lord, and daddy loving mommy the way that Christ loved the church and he paid his life for the church. That's what your children need to see in you. And they can't if you are not around for them to see. Don't pass it off to grandparents and nannies and somebody else. It's your honor and privilege for your children to see that in you. And single people, you are delivered. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. All right, so if you are a widow or a widower, you want to remarry, as long as you remarry another believer, it's fine. God says, it's okay, go ahead and do it. However, she is happier if she so abide, that means remain single after my judgment, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Now, Paul is not saying, I think maybe I'm wrong. He's not saying that. What he means is self-humility. All right, the Apostle Paul realized that in this church in Corinth, there were false teachers who attack his apostleship. And that's why he stated it. I think also I have the Spirit of God. It's a sense of humility and also to highlight himself in contrast to those who are boastful, false apostles, challenging and attacking the office of the Apostle Paul. Remember, the Apostle Paul was not an apostle like the other 12. Why do you think Peter and all the other 12 apostles, their apostleship was never attacked? It would be foolish to attack their apostleship because they were with Christ from the very beginning of Christ's ministry, since his baptism. The Apostle Paul was a persecutor. He was not even a believer when Christ rose from the dead. He came to be an apostle way after Christ's ascension. He was a persecutor, and that's why it was much easier to attack his apostleship than the other 12. And that's what Satan did. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, I think also I have the Spirit of God in contrast to all these false ones. They boasted and they bragged. Remember, when the Bible is in the process of completion, please understand there were many false pseudo-apostles who were also write epistles and signed off using this name and that name to confuse the churches. Now that we have the Bible completed, we know that if you write some other book and say that it's the Word of God and it's not found in the 66 books of the Bible, we just simply chuck it aside. But before the Bible was completed, before the New Testament was completed, please understand there were a lot of false epistles floating around. And that's why the Apostle Paul's apostleship came under attack, and that's why he said, I also have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, to tell you that what I'm telling you is also of God, is by inspiration of God. And to those who are widows, it's okay if you want to remarry, but it is better also to be single. Very different from those who are virgin, who has never been married before. But if you're married, remain single and spend the rest of your time on this earth serving the Lord. That's what he says, after my judgment. Because you have already seen life. You have already tasted the life and the challenges of life. And therefore, with your wisdom and your spirituality, you can do a lot more as a single person serving the Lord now for the rest of your life. After salvation in Christ, remember, we all can go to heaven straight away. But God says, stay behind. And God is very, very concerned concerning our status, single or married. Because God knows you and I are very concerned about singlehood or married life in whatever form. And that's why he gave this entire chapter devoted to resolve from the biblical perspective whatever state or condition that you might be in right now. Single, waiting to be married. Single, knowing that you will never be married. Or married, engaged to be married. Married before you were believers, and now one of you is a believer. All these are covered in this chapter to help us understand our state and condition as a believer. Because once this is biblically understood, you can now spend the rest of your concentration and understanding in other areas of your life so that you can now become a more mature and a better believer. Because this area is now settled by the word of God, not by the word of man, to give us the stability and to know that whatever state I am right now, this is the way that I ought to conduct myself, and God will be pleased. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the word of life that is so complete and thorough to help us understand from Your perspective whatever state or condition of life that we may be in right now. Thou hast an instruction for us, whether to be single, whether to be married, engaged, in whatever constitution that we might be in. We thank Thee for Thy revelation, Thy love, Thy care, and Thy concern for us, so that we may know the will of God and not allow the influence and the voices of the world to confuse us, to lead us astray, and to cause us to stumble and fall into sin. But this is a very important part of our lives, to be single or to be married. And we thank Thee for Thy instruction. Grant to all of us wisdom, hearts of flesh, so that we may not be hearers only, but doers of Thy truth. And to know that whatever state or condition that we are in right now, may we do so with the mind of Christ, according to Thy Holy Scriptures. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.